Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and this is the 291st Word for Word show for the 20th of September, 2017. We are in the Ezra-Nehemiah series. It will be continuous. I will not break and make a whole separate group for Nehemiah because they were originally one book. I will notify you when we go into Nehemiah, of course. Today we are going to be beginning with Ezra chapter 4. And this is an exciting group of chapters and verses here. This is when the enemies opposed the work of rebuilding the temple. And let's get started in it, and I'll explain as I go. Now when the adversaries of Yehuda and Benjamin heard that the children of the exiles rebuilt the temple unto Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, let's stop right here. Now who were these adversaries? They were the Samaritans. Okay, remember Israel had been split. And the 10 northern tribes had their apostate religion based at Shomeron, Samaria. Now, these people were not, Samaritans here is not a racial designation, it is a territorial designation. These were not true Israel. These were the descendants of the various nations which the kings of Assyria had peopled Israel. They removed Israel and put in all this racial soup of non-Israelite people, but they were going to pretend, as they do today, that they are Israel. Well, that was not going to fly. Verse 2 of chapter 4, and you can reference 2 Kings 17, verses 24 through 41. On this verse. Then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chiefs of the clans and said unto them, let us rebuild with you, for we seek your Elohim. That's plural for Elohim. That's your God. Your Elohim together is your God together is Elohim. And as you do, and we do slaughter sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, that's Assyria, which brought us up here. These were transplanted racial aliens. They were not Israelites. They had no right to do anything. They shouldn't even be there like the racial aliens here today in our Israel nations have no right to live among us, but they do. We're stuck with them right now until Yeshua comes back. Listen to this now. Verse 3, but Zerubbabel and Yeshua and the rest of the chiefs of the clans of Israel said unto them, you have nothing to do with us to rebuild a house unto our Elohim. Okay, but we ourselves together will build unto Yahweh, Elohe Israel, that means the God of Israel, as King Koresh, the king of Paras, that's Persia, has commanded it. They said, no, you have no business here. Well, what do they do? Verse 4, then it was the people of the land, that means all these enemies, weakened the hands of the people of Yehuda and troubled them in rebuilding. Verse 5, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. All the days of Koresh, king of Paras, even unto the reign of Dariush, that's Darius, king of Paras, that's Persia again. Verse 6, and in the reign of Ahasuerus, the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Now that's Esther 1:1. I just finished Esther. That's the king in her time. This went on for years. Constant harassment. Well, same. We've got the same today. Verse 7. And in the days of Artaxasta, that's Artaxerxes, wrote, these are the enemy, Bishlam, Midradoth, Tabeel, and the rest of their companions unto Artaxasta, king of Paras, and the writing of the letter was written in Aramaean, that's the Syrian tongue, interpreted in Aramith, that's Aramaean. All right, verse 6. Pardon me, I have to clear my throat here. Okay, now verses 6 through 18 is written in Aramaic. Okay. Rechum, the decreed commander, and Shimshai, the scribe, wrote a letter against Yerushalayim to Artaxasta, the king, in this sort. Then wrote Rechum, the decreed commander, and Shimshai, the scribe, and the rest of their companions, the Dinyae, those were judges, that's in Aramaic, the Apharsachites, those are lesser governors, the Tarpalae, Apharsites, Archaway, Babeli, those are Babylonians, Shushan Kaye. The Shushanites, the Dehawe, and the El Maye. Those were secretaries, I guess. People of Erech, an Aramaic. And the rest of the nations, the Aramaic nations, whom the great and noble Osnapar took into exile and dwelled in the cities of Shamrayan, that's Samaria in Aramaic, and the rest in the region beyond the river at such a time. These were all anti-Israelite enemies. So they were lobbying against Israel, just like they lobby against true Israel and pass laws against us today. Okay. Verse 11. This is a copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even unto Arkashasta the king. Thy servants, the men, that would be mortals, that would be in Hebrew, it would be 582. 606 is what they have there, and that is contemporary with 582 in the Hebrew. The mortals in the region beyond the river, and at such a time. Verse 12. Be it known unto the king that the Yahudai, that's Aramaic for Yehudim, the people that praise Yah, that's the people of Judah, which came up from you to us or come into Jerusalem, rebuilding the rebellious and the bad city, and have completed the walls of it and repaired the foundations. Verse 13, be it known now unto the king that if this city be built, be rebuilt, and the walls completed, then they will not pay toll, tribute, and custom tax. And so you shall damage the revenue of the kings. Those are just straight up lies. That's what they do. They lie. Now, because we have eaten the salt from the king's palace, that was a covenant of salt, and it was not fitting for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore have we sent and informed the king. Well, they sent him a pack of lies. Verse 15, that search may be made in the book of the records of your forefathers, so you shall find in the book of the records and know that this city is a rebellious city and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved revolt in the midst of ancient times. For which cause was this city destroyed? Back when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it. Verse 16. We informed the king that if this city be rebuilt again, and the walls thereof it completed by this, inasmuch as you shall have no portion in the region beyond the river. In other words, they're going to usurp your power. Well, that was a lie. They had no intention of that. They just wanted to go home and rebuild the city and live there. But this is the method that the non-Israelites, the racial aliens, use, and they use it today. They just straight up lie. Fake news now. Okay? Then sent the king a written answer unto Rechem, the decreed commander, and to Shimshai, the scribe, and to the rest of their companions that dwell in Shamrayan, that's Samaria again, and the rest beyond the river. Peace, and at such a time. The letter which you sent unto us has been distinctly read before me, and I issued a decree, and search has been made, and it is found that this city of ancient times has made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and revolt have been made therein. Verse 20, there have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll, tribute, and custom tax was paid to them, just like it was being paid to him. Well, he didn't want that to end. He wanted to keep on taxing these people. Issue you now a decree to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not rebuilt until another decree shall be given from me. I'm out of breath here again. Take heed now that you fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? Verse 23. Now when the copy of the letter to King Arkashasta was read before Rechem and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Yahudi, that's Aramaic for Yahudi, or Yahudim, and made them to cease by force and power. They brought troops in. Verse 24, and you can reference Haggai chapter 1, verse 1, and Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1. Then ceased the work of the house of Elah, that's Aramaic instead of Elohim, which is at Jerusalem, instead of Yerushalayim, which is Hebrew. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Dariush, that's called Darius, king of Paras, that's Persia. Okay, that ends chapter 4, tells the story of the enemies. Let's get into chapter 5, verse 1. Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Yahudi that were in Yahud, this is Aramaic, different pronunciation, and Jerusalem, the name of the Elah, that's the God, that's Aramaic for the God of Israel, upon them. Ooh. Verse 2. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua, the son of Yotzadak, and began to rebuild the house of Elah, that would be Elohim, that in Arabic, which is at Jerusalem. With them were the prophets of Elah, helping them. Now, that's prophets of God, okay? That's Aramaic for Elohim. And you can reference Haggai 1, verse 12, and Zechariah 4, verses 6 through 9. Verse 3, at the same time came to them Tattenai, the governor of the region beyond the river, and Shethar Boznai and their companions, and said thus unto them, who has issued a decree to you to rebuild this house and to complete this wall. Now remember, Ezra is writing this. Then said we unto them after this manner, what are the names of the men that build this building? Verse 5. But the eye of Elohim, that would be, that's Aramaic for Elohim, was upon the elders of the Yehudai, that's Aramaic for Yehudim, that they could not cause them to cease till the report came to Dariush, and then they returned answer by letter concerning this matter. They're going to counter these liars. Verse 6. The copy of the letter that Tatanai, governor of this side of the river, and Shethar Boznai and his companions, the Apharsakai, which were in the region beyond the river, sent unto Dariush the king. Verse 7. They sent a written answer unto him. Within was written thus, unto Dariush the king, all peace. Verse 8. Be it known unto the king that we went into the province of Yahud, that's Judea, to the house of the great Elaha, that's Elohim, which is built with large stones, and timber is laid in the walls. And this work goeth speedily and prospers in their hands. Verse 9. Then asked we those elders and said unto them thus, who issued a decree for you to build this house and to complete these walls? We asked their names also to inform you that we might write the names of the men that were the chief of them. Verse 11, and they returned us written answers, saying, we are the servants of Elah, that's the God of, the sky and the land, and build the house that was built these many years ago, which a great king of Israel built and finished it. Here's verse 12. Now you can reference 2 Kings. Chapter 25, verses 8 through 12. 2 Chronicles 36, verses 17 through 20. And Jeremiah 52, verses 12 through 15. Verse 12. But after that, our fathers had provoked the Elah of the sky unto anger. He gave them into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, the Kastada, the Chaldean, okay, who destroyed this house and took the people into exile and to Babel. Verse 13, you can reference Ezra 1, 2 through 11. But in the first year of Koresh, the king of Babel, the same king Koresh made a decree to rebuild this house of Elah. Verse 14, and the vessels also of gold and silver of the house of Elah, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that was in Jerusalem, and brought them into the temple of Babel, those did Koresh the king take out of the temple of Babel, and they were given unto one whose name was Sheshbazzar, whom he had made governor. So they're recounting the law and refuting what these liars are saying. Oh, I love it. Verse 15, and said unto him, take these vessels, go, carry them into the temple that is Jerusalem, and let the house of Elah be rebuilt in his place. Verse 16, Then came the same Sheshbazzar and laid the foundation of the house of Allah, which is in Jerusalem. And since that time, even until now, has it been in building, and yet it is not finished. Verse 17, now therefore, if it seems good to the king, let there be search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babel, whether it be so that a decree was made of Koresh, the king, to rebuild this house of Allah at Jerusalem, and let the king send his decision to us concerning this matter. Okay, that ends chapter 5. Chapter 6. Then Dariush, this is no longer in Aramaic, this is Hebrew. Then Dariush the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the scrolls, where the treasures were deposited in Babel. And there was found at Achmetha in the palace that is in the province of the Madai, that's the Medes, a scroll, and therein was a record thus written. Verse 3. In the first year of Koresh the king, the same Koresh the king made a decree concerning the house of Allah at Jerusalem, let the house be rebuilt, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 60 cubits, that's 90 feet, and the width thereof 60 cubits, 90 feet, to bear a load, with three rows of large stones and a row of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house. Verse 5, and also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of Allah, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which in Jerusalem, and brought into Babel, be returned, and brought again unto the temple, which is at Jerusalem, each thing to its place, and place them in the house of Allah. A lot of this is still in Aramaic. Verse 6, now therefore, Tatanai, governor beyond the river, Sheth, Bozanai, and your companions, the Apharsakai, which are beyond the river, be ye far from there. Verse, in other words, get away from those people. Verse 7, let alone the work of this house of Allah, let the governor of the Ya'udim and the elders of the Ya'udai and the elders of the Ya'udai build this house of Allah in its place. Moreover, I make a decree what you shall do to the elders of the Ya'udai for building this house of Allah, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, speedily expenses be given unto these men, that they not be caused to cease. In other words, y'all are going to pay for it. Ah! And that which they have need of, both young bullocks and rams and lambs for the burnt offerings of the Allah of the sky, wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the word of the priests which are at Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail. Not only are you going to pay for the rebuilding, you're going to pay and give them all the sacrifices that they need till they get back on their feet. How you like them apples? Oh, payback is terrible, that they may offer soothing fragrance unto the Allah of the sky and pray for the life of the king and of his sons, because he believed too that if he worshiped Yahweh, he would have a better life. Verse 11, also I have made a decree that any mortal which shall alter this written word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being erected, let him be smitten, that's nailed, upon it, and let his house may be made a dunghill for this. In other words, tear his house down and crucify him, and let his house be used as a dunghill, wherever they sweep the streets and get all the horse and cow poo off the streets, they throw it where his house was. Verse 12, and the Elah that has caused his name to dwell there, destroy all kings and people that shall send out their hand to alter and to destroy this house of Elah, which is at Jerusalem. I, Dariush, have made a decree. Let it be done with speed. So not only did the complainers and the whiners and the enemies of Israel and Yahweh fail in their attempt to get the building stopped, they were made to pay for it. Oh, that's sweet. I like that. That's coming again, too, you know. Our enemies are not going to do real well. Payback is coming. And here's where we start, where the temple is dedicated. Verse 13. Then Tatanai, governor of the region beyond the river, and Shethar Bozenai and their companions, because of that which Dariush the king had sent, so they did speedily, because they didn't want their heads chopped off. It's a great motivator. Verse 14, you can reference in the first part of the verse, Haggai 1:1, and the second part of the verse, Zechariah 1:1. And the elders of the Yahudai built, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they built and finished it according to the commandment of the Elah of Israel, that's the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Koresh and Dariush and Artaxerxes, kings of Paras, that's Persia. Verse 15, and this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Dariush the king. They call him Darius, but it's Dariush. Verse 16, and the children of Israel, the priests, and the Levites, and the rest of the children of the captivity kept the dedication of this house of Elah with joy. All right, you know what dedication is? Hanukkah. Verse 17, and offered at the dedication of this house of Elah 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for a sin offering for all Israel, 12 he-goats, according to the number of the tribes of Israel. Verse 18, and they set the priests in their divisions, and the Levites, that's Aramaic again, in their courses, how they lined up for their jobs, for the servants, the service of Elah, which is at Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moshe. And that ends the Aramaic section. Now we go back to the Hebrew. Verse 19, you can reference Exodus 12, verses 1 through 20. And the children of the exiles kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month, Verse 20. For the priest and the Levites were purified together, all of them were pure, but ceremoniously pure, and slaughtered the Passover for all the children of the exiles, and for their brethren, the priest, and for themselves. Verse 21, and did eat the children of Israel, which were returned from exile, and all such as had set apart themselves unto them from the filthiness of the nations of the land, all that idol worship, to seek Yahweh Elohe Israel. And Elohe means the God of Israel. And they kept the feast of Matzot, that's unleavened bread, 7 days with joy. For Yahweh had made them joyful and turned around the heart of the king of Asher, that's Assyria, unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of Elohim, the Elohim of Israel. He turned the Persian king around to support Israel. All right, now here we get to where Ezra arrives in Jerusalem, and it's 58 years had elapsed between the dedication of the temple and Ezra's arrival. So 58 years have passed and are gone. Verse 1 of chapter 7. Now after these things, in the reign of Artaxasta, that's Chaldean, king of Paras, Ezra, the son of Sariah, son of Azariah, the son of Kilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Merioth, the son of Zerachiah, the son of Uzi, the son of Buki, the son of Abishua of Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aharon, the chief priest. He has a legitimate birthright to the priesthood. That's his genealogy right there. That establishes for sure whom he was. That's very important because they had a bunch of people that had snuck into the priesthood. They had to kick them out. Well, that's his bona fides right there. Verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babel, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moshe, which Yahweh Elohe Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of Yahweh Elohe, that's his God, upon him. Anything he wanted, the king let him do. Verse 7. And there went up of the children of Israel, of the priest, and the Levites, and the singers, and the gatekeepers, and the Nethinims, those are the temple servants, unto Jerusalem in the 7th year of Artaxasta, the king. Now they have Artaxerxes in here, but that's not how it reads in the Hebrew. Verse 8, and he came to Jerusalem in the 5th month, which was in the 7th year of the king. Verse 9. Because upon the first day of the first month began he the ascent from Babel. They were on a lower ground. And on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of Elohim, his God, in other words, upon him. Verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the Torah of Yahweh, and to do it, and to teach it in Israel, statutes and judgments. Verse 11. Now this is the copy of the letter that King Artaxasta gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the word of the commandments of Yahweh and of his statutes to Israel. Now we have another Aramaic section right here. Verse 12. Artaxasta, king of kings unto Ezra, the priest, a scribe of the Torah of the Allah of the sky. Perfect peace, that's a greeting. And at such a time. Verse 13. I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priest and Leviathan in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with you. In other words, he sent them with his blessing. For as much as you are sent before the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning the Yahud and Jerusalem, in other words, the people of the tribe of Judah, according to the law of Elohak, that's your God in Aramaic, which is in your hand. Verse 15, and to carry the silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the Allah, that's the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem. Verse 16, and all the silver and gold that you can find in all the province of Babel, with the free will offering of the people and of the priests, offer willingly for the house of Elohim, that means their God, which is in Jerusalem. Verse 17. So that you may buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, with their grain offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of Elohim, that's your God again, which is in Jerusalem. Now you see Yahweh's hand in this? This is the king that conquered everybody, and he's doing this for Israel. Yahweh is stirring up his spirit like he did for Koresh. And whatsoever shall seem good to you and to your brethren to do with the rest of the silver and gold, that do after the will of Elohim, that's your God. Verse 19. The vessels also that are given you for the service of the house of your God, those delivered before the Allah of Jerusalem. Now again, they had Elohim, that's your God, and Allah, the God of Jerusalem. I need to make a little note here. Yeah, I had missed something. I need to correct it while my mind is still on it. Verse 20. And whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of Elohak, that's your God, which shall fall to you to pay, pay it out of the king's treasure house. In other words, I'm going to pay for all of this. This guy was serious. That's a lot. Because that temple was really going to be something. Verse 21, and I, even I, Artaxasta the king, do make a decree to all the treasurers which who are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the Elah of the sky, shall require of you, it be done speedily. In other words, don't delay, don't mess with them. If he asks you for a certain amount of money, you give it to him. And nobody was going to mess with this guy because he had conquered the whole known world at this point. Verse 22, unto 100 talents of silver and to 100 measures of wheat and to 100 baths of wine and to 100 baths of oil and salt without a written requirement. In other words, you don't have to fill out any forms for those measures. Verse 23. Whatsoever is commanded by the Allah of the sky, that's the God of the sky, let it be exactly done for the house of the Allah of the sky. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? He feared Yahweh. Plain and simple. Verse 24. Also we inform you that touching any of the priests and Levi, singers, doorkeepers, Nethinims, or ministers of this house of Elah, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom tax upon them. Won't be authorized. In other words, they're tax-free. Leave them alone. Verse 25. And you, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy Elah that is in your hand, appoint magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy Elah, and inform them that know them not. In other words, everybody is going to be under the law of Yahweh. Ooh, they didn't like that. Verse 26, and whosoever will not do the law of thy Elah and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death or to banishment or to confiscation of goods or to imprisonment. And that ends the Aramaic section here. Goes back into Hebrew here, verse 27. Blessed be Yahweh, Elohim of our fathers, which has put such a thing as this in the king's heart, or mine, 38:20, to beautify the house of Yahweh, which is in Jerusalem. Verse 28, and has extended loving kindness unto me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty officers. And I was strengthened as the hand of Yahweh Elohai, that's my God, was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. And that pretty much ends. I can't do any more because I'll have to cut off the next chapter, and it's chapter 8 is a pretty long one. So I'm going to stop there for today, and I'll pick up with chapter 8 on Friday. I want to remind everybody that next week, from sundown on the 26th to sundown of the 27th, is Yom Kippur. It's a day of fasting. And we honor Yeshua's sacrifice on that day because we no longer have to have atonement made, the covering over by the blood of bulls and goats. It is completed for all time. Yahweh has seen to that. Yeshua made that final perfect sacrifice. And we need to remember that. And then next month comes the Feast of Tabernacles, and everybody needs to go and tabernacle. If you do it in your backyard, whatever, you put up a tent or brush shelter and you celebrate that Feast of Tabernacles. It begins on sundown on the 2nd of October to sundown on the 10th of October. So that's the Feast of Tabernacles. I will be downstate, so I'm going to record a lot of these shows and have them in the can so they'll automatically play, because I'm going to be downstate with Eli and a whole bunch of other people that are coming. It's going to be a big one this year, and we are really going to have a real a fine feast. I'll be doing a seminar on survivalism and go kits and what you need, and we'll be doing medical procedures, herbs that are good for food or for medicine, and just sitting around campfires with a cup of coffee, just talking to one another and fellowshipping and praising Yahweh. We'll have scripture readings. And we're going to do it upright according to the will of our Father. And wherever you are, you can celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, as long as you do it outside. You're supposed to put up a tent or a brush shelter or something. You're supposed to cook in it, supposed to eat in it. Spend that week in the tabernacle. That's the whole thing. That's a commanded feast, by the way. That's not a rabbinical added deal. That's a commandment right from Yahweh that we are to do that. So I'll start on Friday, beginning with chapter 8 of the book of Ezra. We're doing about 3 chapters a day here. So it'll be 8, 9, and 10, and that will probably finish up Ezra, and then on the following Monday, I'll start in Nehemiah, because there's only 10 chapters in the first book of Ezra. So that's the story there. I want to remind everybody that we have the Pastor's Roundtable show on Friday, preceding Yahweh's Covenant People. It's a live call-in show, and you can participate. We look at the chat rooms, monitor them, and feel like and get it together with the Skype thing. We're still getting all the technical aspects nailed down. We'll be taking calls. And it's a difficult procedure. We have to get all the buttons pushed in the right order. But you'll notice that the show schedule's back up. We're on the new server. We have a lot more capacity. Things are going well. Very, very pleasing. So I'm coming down the end of the hour. It's about 6 minutes out or less. I've been getting a lot of emails and Skype messages and stuff, and I really appreciate the positive response I have been getting from the listeners. I thank you very, very much, and I'm glad you're getting some good things out of these teaching sessions. That's what they're for. The word of Yahweh is always a joyous thing. Always a joyous thing. But when I finish Ezra and Nehemiah, I will be doing 1st and 2nd Chronicles. That will be in October. And then we will be finished with the Old Testament, quote unquote. And I'll be going into the intermediary books, the Apocrypha, and the so-called lost books, the ones that I have. And then in 2018, I will very definitely be into the New Testament and the Greek word study there. That's going to be interesting, but the New Testament is nowhere near as long as the Old Testament. But it will require patience and study. And we will interrelate the New Testament with what was prophesied in the Old Testament. So we'll finish the entire scriptures in 2018 sometime. And then it'll just be reruns from the beginning for all the new listeners. And I can devote my time, instead of recording these shows, I'll only be doing my wake-up call sermons on Thursdays. And we'll see what other kind of trouble I can get into with EFR. I'll be doing a bunch of stuff. A lot more sermons. And I'll be on the shows and be in the chat rooms answering questions with Eli and the other pastors. And we are so blessed that we have EFR. And that we've been able to get it all straightened out. And I want to thank Paul English for his diligent, long hours he has put into this. By Yahweh's hand, he has created a blessing and fixed a lot of problems with Yahweh's guidance. But I just need to say how much I appreciate his efforts. We are blessed with a good team here at EFR, and I am proud to be associated with them. Well, I'm coming up. It's about a little over 3 minutes. I hope you're catching the analogies between what happened back then and what's happening now, because it's repeating itself. The Jews want to build another temple and start sacrifices again, which have been negated by the final sacrifice of Yeshua at Calvary. And I don't think Yahweh's going to let him do it. I think he's going to come down on that pretty hard, because that is a slap in the face to start up animal sacrifice again when that was fulfilled in totality by our Messiah, Yeshua. So we will see. It's going to be an interesting year, the rest of this year. Well, got 3 months of this year, plus the rest of September here. And then 2018 may be the tipping point. We don't know. We really don't know when Yahweh is going to send the Messiah back. But we need to be prepared. So may Yahweh bless and keep all of you. And I'll catch you again on Friday the 22nd. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.